thank God the Holy Spirit moved on you, sister.
Amen.
No, I'm telling you, there ain't nothing special going on. I'm going home. I always come for something special.
Amen.
And I never look for it from man, though they do give us a lot of great special things. I look for it from God.
I felt bad after I said that.
I thought you did. I seen you shivering over there.
I knew you was going to lay on me.
She knows you too, Art.
Another thing, too, they was singing and they was up here talking about, God gave them a song. Doesn't anybody ever want to sing about Jesus? You stole that song from me, didn't you?
No, sir.
Well, I was singing in my garage a couple days ago. Maybe I heard it somewhere or something, all right?
Do you have our album? He bought that album.
Sure do.
I knew this was medicine.
Here it is, and you hear nothing else. Man may go to heaven without health, without wealth, without fame, without a great name, without learning, without big earnings, without culture, without beauty, without friends, and without 10,000 other things. But they cannot go to heaven without Christ.
Amen.
To have your Bible this evening, want to read scripture from a couple books from the Bible? Exodus chapter 24. Want to keep your finger there and go over to Matthew chapter 17. At home, when I finish a message, I haven't did it here, and I've kind of felt bad about it. Don't know if the Lord just has given me that line or what. But when I conclude every message at home, I always say, I'll see you at the roll call. But only if you're a Christian. I know a lot of wonderful folks that if Jesus came tonight, he wouldn't make the roll call of the kingdom sheep. So we need to pray for them.
Yeah, amen.
We need to lift them up to the throne of grace.
Amen.
I don't know what this revival has sparked to hear, but I'll tell you, since I've come down here, I've been invited to dinner everywhere. So it's all right, we'll just go about a month here so I won't have to spend so much money on food. Exodus chapter 24, verse 12, and then 15 through 18. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount, and be there. And I will give thee tables of stone, and a law, and commandments, which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. Then verse 15. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of that cloud and got up into the mountain. And Moses was in the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Over in Matthew chapter 17, verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain privately, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine like the sun, and his raiment was as white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three booths, one for thee and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he yet spoke, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were very much afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man except Jesus only. Be speaking to you this evening and myself on the subject, Welcome to the Mountaintop. Now go home.
Oh, what a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. What a beautiful day for Him to take His children home. How I'd love to see His face and to touch His nail-scarred hands. As I wake up every morning of each day that passes by, and I listen for the sound upon my ear, I can't help but keep a watchful eye.
God wants us to come to the house of God to be long faith, and God knows, snotty nose, something covers, button him up. I think he expects to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I don't just mean just make a joyful noise because, hey, we're in the house of God. But I mean when God blesses you, I let people know it. Amen. I've been accused. I've had a lot of people say to me up home up there. We attend a lot of services in all the different churches. We thank God for that. We try not to get in each other's pulpits and preach again what they're doing because sometimes we've got to pull on each other's pocket. But we've been blessed with having a group of ministers at home after a lot of work that are able to get together. And we've been getting together, and as we get together, a lot of times I'll be in the street and somebody say, Brother White. Yeah. They'll say, you ought to be with the Pentecost. And I say, I know it. Go get them. Bring them over. I love them all. As long as they preach the Word of God. And I tell you, I love to preach. I remember a time a fellow said to me, I want to ask you a question. Don't know if you do it. I said, well, why don't I? I'm not back. Well, I'd say no. He said, well, we're planning on a meeting up in Springfield in the park. One of you come. I said, you going to have food? Yeah, I'll be there. Well, I said, we want you to preach, if you will, in the park. I said, well, praise God. He said, you mean you'll come up there and preach the park? I said, well, I'll come up there and climb a tree and preach. What's so big or bad about preaching in? And he was a missionary. He was the associational missionary out of Decatur, so I will mention some of you know him. And I said, hey, that'll give me the greatest joy in all the world to preach the gospel any place. Well, you know by now, I've got a loud mouth. And you can always get an amen from Ralph on that. But anyhow, started preaching. And there was ball teams all over. Up in that park, they got several ballparks. And after just a little while, we noticed that, boy, a group of people was coming over here. And I mean, there was just a great crowd gathering, you know. And I was praising God. The missionary, I think he was about to fly off to heaven or something. But anyhow, pretty soon some guy come over and he hollered. He said, excuse me, Reverend. Just a minute. I'm sorry. He said, hey, guys, we got a ball game going on. Some of you guys up to bat. You know what? God moves in wonderful, wonderful ways, doesn't he? I love to preach. I mean that. I'm not a good preacher, but I love to preach. And I love to just let God have his way. I came last night, as some preachers do, and we said, God, he was just kidding. I had a message I swore was a message for the revival. I prayed about it. I've been day and night in my office praying and trying to see what God wanted here. And I had a message that I had preached some time ago. And I don't know that I might have used the same text, but I don't recall ever preaching the same message that I have preached in services or at. I've had a lot of people say, I'd like to have the message that you preached at my mom's funeral. And I always tell them, well, I don't have it. Because that's the first time I preached it, will probably be the last. But last night, I felt that God had a message that I had preached some time ago, and I felt that's what God wanted. When I got up here, you might have noticed me, I was a little bit lost, and I apologize for that. I was just trying to get my mind together with what God really wanted, and I had my notes. I keep notes. I'll tell you why, because my messages are taped at home, and we take them to the shut-ins, the church does, that they might hear the messages that comes from the pulpit. And so with the notes there, I can do that. And so we're going to try again tonight to bring the Word of God in the way that God wants us to. And we ask you just to pray. Before we start, I want to pray just one more time for you. Our Lord God, tonight, as we humbly come to you, seeking direction of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, Help us, dear God, to hide behind all the victories of Calvary tonight. And help us to preach your word under the guise and power and leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. I pray, God, that our minds and our hearts will be clear of our own ideologies. And, oh God, that we might speak tonight because you called us to. We ask you to bless the message not only to our ears tonight, but, God, we ask you to bless it to our hearts tonight. For it is a message, oh God, that we as your children just have to hear. And oh God, we need to reach the ultimate of the message tonight. And so I pray, dear God, that you'll bring us down to earth tonight. That we'll open up our ears and our hearts will be receptive as you deal with us. And I'll praise you for it. For I ask it in the name of Jesus and for his sake. And amen.
Amen.
San Diego, California. Seventh largest city in the United States. And they know it. And they have been trying to have some laws passed to keep people from moving in there because they feel it's already big enough. Going to the governor, they said to him, we need to have a slogan and some bumper stickers or something that will discourage people from coming. And he said, go see the mayor. So they went and talked to the mayor, and the mayor said, well, I don't see a thing wrong with it. If that's what you want to do. But remember this, that we want people to know that when they come here and leave, they take the word out that we're friendly. And they take the word back that there's room for prospering here. So they considered that all, and they made up a bumper sticker, and it read something like this. Welcome to San Diego. Now go home. Mayor didn't like that so much. And the mayor said, that doesn't sound very good to me. That sounds like, you know, it's just no good at all. You have to do something else. So they got together and they made up another bumper sticker. And they had changed it drastically. This one read, enjoy San Diego and then go home. And that run in San Diego for months on end. You know, that sounds kind of not so subtle to me, kind of sarcastic. But if you will think of those words, welcome to San Diego, go home. You might see that in the Word of God, it contains a not so subtle message to us too. Kind of like that. And I believe that message to be this. Welcome to the mountain. Enjoy it. Now go home. We need to think about that. Because there are two elements of the Christian life. And one of them is the mountain of exaltation. And that is the place or the time when we come so close to God that we're walking on each other. That is the time when we come to God and He refreshes us and we're able to get up and take a deep breath and say, God, it's worth it all. I'm going back to the field of service. That mountain of exaltation is that place where we come and it seems like the cloud of God's Shekinah is upon us and is filling us and saying to us, regardless of where you go, regardless of what you're doing, regardless of your circumstances, I am with you. The mountain of exaltation is that said, wherever it is, I'm not concerned. I just let God take care of it. Visiting a lady today, she said to me, oh, Brother Wise, I get so pressed sometimes that I don't know what to do. And I said, said to her, shame on you, you're a wonderful Christian, and when you get so depressed that you don't know what to do, you have forgotten about God. And it's like that with us. My friend, when it comes to the place where I don't know what to do, I turn it over to God. He does. But then, besides that mountain of exaltation, there is a valley of service. And I tell you, they are not one of the same. For we go and get that mountaintop experience for one reason. That is that it might lead us down into the valley of service for Jesus Christ. I hear the disciples, and none of us can condemn them. I hear the disciples saying, oh Lord, didn't you? It's good for us to be here. I mean, it's the place we ought to have been. We should have been here a long, long time ago. We should do something about it. We should build a tabernacle, a tent here. We should build a booth and stay right here, because this is the feeling that we need to have. But you know what? They forgot that down in the valley was a lot of folks who wasn't having that feeling at that time. There is a story of a little girl that was born. And as she began to grow older, she would get hungry and she would go. And her mom would say, son, man, she's probably hungry. She'd feed her. If she wet her diaper, she'd... Must have wet her diaper, she'd go change it. She clapped her hand if she was happy or sad, if she was playing or about to go to sleep. She clapped her hand. And one day, someone said to her, that is the most precious and beautiful thing I have ever seen in my life. And tears rolled down the mother's cheeks. And she said these words, oh, how right you are. And we're just afraid that one day, she will cease to do that. My friend, I say to you that those moments cannot be captured in a little box to be opened later on in life. Those are moments that are for that moment. They're never to be lived again. We'll have to move out of that experience and move into another experience that leads us all through life, because none of us is to stay young forever and to do the things that a child does. Paul said, when I was a child, I did as a child. I thought as a child. But when I grown older, I became a man, and I thought of a man as a man, and I did what a man should do. And I say to us, my friends, that every child of God sometime in their life must have a mountaintop experience. And that's good. But my friend, when we have had that mountaintop experience with God, the thing to do is get off of that mountain and get in the valley and win souls. Because, brother, that's when we can do it. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, yes, it's good. Those two dimensions of life, and you know what? I've had people come in and say, brother White, how come you're always happy? How come you're always excited? I'm going to say something to you tonight. I'm not here to brag, because you'll find, ask my wife, you'll find me the same at home. You'll find me the same in the street. You'll find me the same in a grocery store. You'll find me the same even on a stool. I'll tell you, I don't know nothing not to be happy about. I don't know nothing that should make the child of God not rejoice. I'll tell you, we are children that got something to rejoice about. We've got something to laugh about. We've got something to shout about. We've got something to live for. And that is, my friend, eternal life and the one who gave it, Jesus Christ the Lord.
Amen.
You're laughing still yet about that stool incident. But I told a woman one time years ago, about 15 years ago, I said to her, ma'am, I want to tell you something. I don't care if you're in your bathroom and God deals with you. That's where you can find God. And you know what? About 3 weeks later, she comes. She said, you know, I thought that was the stupidest thing, but as soon as I walked in that bathroom, I felt the Holy Ghost deal with me. And she said, I didn't know what to do. So I said, I'll just do what Brother Wyatt said. She said, right inside the door in the bathroom, I fell on my knees and I said to God, I'm a sinner in these things. Said, you know what? That was the best time I ever went to the bathroom. That's God. God is just everywhere. Everybody says so. Preachers say so. And if he's in your front room, he's in the dining room. If he's in the dining room, he's in the bathroom. Amen? Woo! I'll tell you what, I feel so good. We can give everybody else a hand. Let's give God a hand for you, Father. Amen. And he's so gracious that we can do what we're doing and preach like we're preaching and still get people to love God and to serve God. And you know what? Sometimes when we get to know God, our nose gets a big thing and pulls their nose with me or something like that. I don't know what it is. But I want to tell you what should be pulled. Our heartstrings. And I'll tell you where they should be pulled. They should be pulled, first of all, by the Holy Ghost of God that dwells in it. And they should be pulled from the mountaintop of experience into the valley of service. And there are many who will never reach that mountaintop and say, as I started a while ago, Brother Wyatt, I don't know why you're so happy. I have never been that happy in all my life as a Christian. Well, friend, don't pour it on me, because I don't know why you haven't. Because if you haven't had a mountaintop experience with God, you've never reached the mountaintop. Lord, it's good for us to be here. And I say to you tonight, it's good for us to be here. And you know why it's good for us to be here? Because you already said it, because God's here. Yes, my friend. What if we could? What if we could just capture that moment and keep it? You know, there's something about a mountaintop that I know you know. You can see further from a mountaintop than any place else in the valley. But you know what? So many times when we get on the mountaintop, we begin to look at the creation of God. We begin to look at all God has done, and we begin to marvel, and we're struck at awe because we can see all the empire that God has built. But let me tell you something. That's not why we go to the mountaintop to see the creation of God. We go to the mountaintop to get in touch with the Creator. Amen. And that's what happened to us. That's right. That's just what happened. When the glory of the Lord shone down around about them, the Bible said they fell on their faces. You know why? Because they knew they was in the presence of an Almighty God who had created them. But I see Jesus, who was God in the flesh, going over to them and touching them as they laid on the ground and telling them to rise up. Do you know? Why didn't he just leave them alone in the experience? Why didn't he just leave them lay on the ground and think about all that glory that had surrounded them? I'll tell you why. I'm not bashful. They couldn't go down until they got up. And God knew what was down below, and so do you. There was a young boy, whoever it was, an epileptic down there, and a paralytic down there, and he had to have the touch of God. So, though it was the place to be at that time, it was not the place to stay. You know, I love to come to church. I want to tell you, sometimes I go by church 2 or 3 times a day just to walk in and look and thank God for all he's done. Sometimes to sit in the pew, as because I never get that opportunity, just to sit in the pew and close my eyes and think that the man behind the pulpit is God and he's speaking to me. And I'll tell you what, sometimes I go out there and get in that car and I'll tell you, I'm slobbered in the mouth. I feel so good because it's not Sunday yet. I love to go to church, but I want to say something to you. After I've been to church and I felt the glory of God shining about, and I've been to that mountaintop, then I want to go home. I want to go home because home or outside is where the field of service is. And I say to him, when church is, no, I'm not going to talk about Shiloh. I talk about the church that I pastor. And you pastors who've been pastoring longer than me, you've seen it time and time again. Oh, the church, I'll tell you, they just wallow in the slop if you'll excuse that of God's great gospel as it preached to them and all that God had to offer. But I want to say something to you, my friend. Thank God for those who are willing to reach at the mountaintop with God. There was a burden. Oh, I rejoice because I know that I want to be in heaven with them forever. But oh, listen, I'm in the flesh and it become a burden. And I begin to pray, oh God, look, you've called me to work and it seems like the devil's trying to just pull me down. Oh God, will you give me strength? And God said, I'll give you strength when you preach that funeral. And I want to tell you, I had the greatest joy preaching that funeral. And when I went in before the funeral ever came, they began to say this to me, and I never knew it. I had only stopped a couple of times. I knew the lady when I was little, but they said, you know, she loved you so much that every night she told us she always prayed for you. Ain't that something? Well, I'll tell you what. I got up there and preached that message, and when I got done preaching the funeral, I gave an invitation for people to come. And I said, and I want to say this, I know half of this family does not know God. And if you're not saved before you leave here, you'll die without God and you'll never see your mother again. I met Beverly about 3 months ago. She said, preacher, not all of us, but me and Laquita have got in church and we're serving God. He's become something more to us than he ever was because we heard what you said. Amen? They heard what God said. Let me go on. God always wants us to have a great experience. And the disciples, when they got up, I know they were just depressed. They had to leave. But I'll tell you their problem. Down in that valley were the rest of the disciples. You know, sometimes we just get our minds on ourselves and we forget about everybody else. Just as long as I'm on shouting ground and praying ground, I don't care about anybody else. And that's what happened up there. They forgot that right down on the bottom of that mountain, there were disciples of Jesus who didn't have this experience. And so when they went down, a man comes to Jesus and he says to Jesus, he says, Lord, could you help? We've come and we've talked to your disciples and they couldn't do nothing. Couldn't do nothing. Say, preacher, well, maybe it wasn't intended. I don't know. I just know what Jesus said. For when he looked at him, he said, oh, ye of little faith. I believe, he said, if you would have had more faith, you could have at least did something. You could have at least comforted this father till I got here. You could have at least told him that I'd be back down. You could have at least helped him in that way to be a personal friend. But oh, ye of little faith, you did nothing. Well, my friend, when these services close, revival better not close.
Amen.
Or you might as well close the doors. If I come down here just so you can have a week of service, you brought me down here for the wrong thing because that ain't what I came for. And I want to tell you, I don't know who came to this altar the other night, the couple, but I want to tell you what. I can go home rejoicing that what has happened, and praise God, it's been worth it all, but it's not enough. It's not enough because there's more to be done, there's more to come forward, there's more to be saved, and you and I got to get in the valley of service for God to get it done. Yeah. Welcome to the valley. Now go home. I close by saying this. Have the disciples left it all there? I mean, was that the end of it? Was that all it was? Mm-mm. Not when you read the rest of the Bible. And you know why? I'm going to tell you why. Because when they went down from that mountaintop experience, they went with Jesus. Amen? They didn't leave it up there. That experience was with them. It was walking with them. It was talking with them. And the writer said, and he walked with me, and he talked with me, and he tells me I am his own. And joy we share as we tarry there. None other have ever known, and they haven't. No one knows the experience on the mountaintop that I had with God. No one knows your mountaintop experience, but I want to tell you what. If they've been enough to drive you into the valley, they've been worth having. How do I go down there then, preacher? You go down there together with Jesus. I pray tonight that you have been blessed. I have. I was blessed before I ever left that seat. And I've been blessed abundantly up here. And I pray that you have enjoyed the song, and they've touched your heart, and they've moved that inner man spiritually. And I pray that the sound of the playing of those keys have been an inspiration to you. Now I want to say to you, welcome to those mountaintops. Now go home. Go into the valley of service. Take Jesus with us and bring sheep into the kingdom of God. As those who play the instruments of music come, Lord, tonight, oh, you know you've touched our life. You've been such a joy to us, even that you just selected us to preach the message. That you have just given us the privilege of driving down here to enjoy this great spiritual awakening of the singing and all that happened tonight. And I pray, O God, that if we're here and your children, if we haven't had that mountaintop experience, oh, I pray, dear God, we will put effort. That we will climb and climb till we reach that great plateau. That call the mountain of exaltation. That mountain where we're touching God and God is touching us and where we're filled with the joy of His presence. Then, oh God, help us to leave that mountain of exaltation and help us, dear God, to look on the fields that are white already in the harvest. And help us as a church, as the called out, as the separated, as the body of Christ, that in that valley of service we will show Jesus Christ in our lives and work. Oh God, help us tonight. Maybe we need to pray. Maybe we have a burden nobody knows about. Maybe we've never brought it. Maybe the last two nights we've had the burden. We wanted to pray, but we didn't. Oh Father, tonight I pray we'll reach that plateau by doing your bidding. And I'll praise you for it. For I ask it in the name of Jesus and for his sake. And amen.
Page 251.
Are you almost persuaded to come for prayer or something? A little girl, true story, introduce her to you. Never wanted to go to bed. There was a reason she didn't want to go to bed, but her parents knew it was time for bed and sent her up to bed. After just a little while, the little girl, 5 years old, comes running downstairs. And she said to her mommy and daddy, I need to know Jesus. Would you please tell me about Jesus? He just broke my heart up there. Parents fell down with her by the couch. And there she gave her life to God. And they started to
get up, and she said to them, not yet. I want you to pray that God will let me be a pianist in the church. And her daddy said, let's pray. And they prayed. 5 years old. 3 months later. Never had touched a key. 3 months later, she's sitting on the piano bench at the King James Southern Baptist Church, playing like she's played 100 years. She's a music teacher today, and maybe some of you have heard of her. Her name is Gloria Lynn. Her father is a deacon in the church that I pastor. He and his wife are school teachers. And I'll tell you today, she's teaching other kids, but you know what she's telling them? I'll teach you to pray if you'll pray for Jesus. Amen. Yeah. She's up towards Chicago. They go every week. But isn't that precious? I want to say tonight, God can do a lot of things that sometimes we don't think He can do. Oh, we say He can. We say He can do all things with God. All things are possible. But sometimes I kind of think we kind of doubt that. I leave you tonight saying this. With God, all things are possible. I'm with that lady. Go ahead. I want that young lady to come right back with me. Are you happier right now than you were before you came?